Welcome to the Sydney Property Muppets podcast. My name is Kurt Lothar. I'm the real estate agent, and with me forever is
Chris Clark, the buyer's agent. Now, we'll mark out the elephant in the room. He's not exactly an elephant. Who do we have here today?
Hi, everyone. My name is James Leader. I'm from England initially, but I've been here for 6 years. I work for a company called Shore Financial. We're the largest independent brokerage in Australia. I'm here to chat to these guys about all things finance.
Brokerage, so all things mortgage broker.
Yes, sorry, correct.
No, that's all good. That's good.
We do asset finance as well.
Oh, there we go.
Just a great bloke in general, and we thought we'd have another guest on. You're the second guest, so...
Brilliant, thank
you. You're high up there.
you said yes.
Yes. But in talking about niches today, guys, some niche banking policies, Chris, and we wanted to get James on here because... Yep. We take for granted what is out there in the real estate industry and borrowing money and what you can do. However, we wanted to break it down some interesting niche banking policies.
Well, I think also that we get asked, as a real estate agent buyer, and we get asked these questions from time to time. What we know is property.
Mm.
We know what it's worth, you know, how to sell it and how to buy. But we get asked questions about people's loans and situations that we don't know. So this will be a great episode in terms of some of those. And we're going to kick it off. We're going to talk about LMI. We're going to talk about some low docs. I'm going to talk some government sort of incentives as well. So LMI, maybe in basic terms, James, explain to us what it is and who's using it.
So LMI is typically payable. It's a premium that the banks pass on to the borrower, rather selfishly, but that's the nature of banks, when you have less than a 20% deposit. There's exceptions to the rule, and we're going to discuss that, but typically if you have less than a 20% deposit, you have to pay LMI.
Yep.
This gets added to the loan at settlement. So it's not an upfront cost, but it's a way. It's really best to avoid it if you can, because it can be quite a lot. I mean, it can be up to, you know, for example, a $500,000 property. If you're borrowing 90% of that, so what's that, $450,000? LMI is about $7,000, so it's fairly substantial, and it's best to avoid if you can.
Yeah, of course, it's best to avoid. Does it frustrate you? Just going off a bit of a tangent here. The newspapers and media always talk about 20% as if it's like a. It's concrete.
Hard and fast rule. Yeah, agreed.
It's not, but I get why they say it to some degree, but...
Well, it's one of the reasons why I wanted James on here to talk about this, because I wanted to have more of a positive spin, because people talk about how hard it is to get in the market. You need 20%, but there's other ways around it. And I think it's better off, you know, if you only had 10% of a 10% deposit, still getting into the market, paying that little bit up front for LMI.
Yeah.
Because if you hold on to that asset for another 5-10 years, I feel you're going to make it. It was worth it paying a little bit of LMI.
I mean,
depending obviously how much you borrow.
I mean, typically you do have to pay LMI if you've got less than a 20% and you're not a first time buyer. There's definitely ways around it. So first of all, if you're a first time buyer, you can avoid paying LMI, but there's a few criteria. So the purchase price goes up to 900,000.
So it's capped at 900,000.
It's capped at 900,000.
So I thought it was 800,000.
No, it's 900. I think they made changes in FY24. It's now 900. I can't remember what FY23 was, but it's definitely 900 now. It's actually less than 900 in rural areas. I think it goes up to 750 in regional NSW, but metropolitan like city centres, 900.
Okay.
Is there a concession after that to 1 million?
There's a stamp duty concession, which is something you might be confusing. So up to 800,000, there's no stamp duty payable. For first time buyers, sorry. Between 800 and 1 million, there's a sliding scale.
Yeah.
That's a concession. That's right.
So you can get so if you buy under 800,000, you can be in 2 weeks, you can be paying no LMI.
And no stamp duty.
So it becomes quite attractive.
Yes, exactly.
You talked about how it's applicable for first home buyers, or there is sort of loophole there. What other groups, is there any loopholes to avoid paying LMI?
So if you're certain lenders, typically the major banks and a few others, they waive LMI for doctors, accountants, lawyers. I think that's it.
So those clusters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're typically very reliable jobs. There's not going to be a shortage of demand for those workers.
And decent
pay. Well paying. Yeah.
Interesting miners aren't on there, but maybe the stability of miners is obviously they can fly and fly, can earn a lot of money, but maybe the stability factor.
That's probably why they're not included, exactly. But yeah, it's a really useful tool because, I mean, stamp duty is usually the biggest impingement for it's the biggest barrier to entry for first home buyers. And if that can be waived, then obviously it's great.
Well, I was just going to say something else we were talking a bit off air. And one thing it's very to note is real estate agents can give a professional advice on real estate, what we were speaking before, the same with buyer's agents. However, we're not allowed to give tax advice, professional tax advice, and it's very similar with lending. I try to avoid giving any specific...
I definitely can't give tax advice.
Either. Yeah, generic advice. However, mortgage broking, that's why I think it's very important to have a mortgage broker up your sleeve, because they're the ones that are going to be able to answer the specific regarding the laws, the policies. And there was a word you mentioned before, LODOC. If someone heard the LODOC, I think most people wouldn't really know what LODOC even means in the mortgage broking.
Yeah, yeah.
So what's it? Explain.
So LODOC
loans. Means with a boat, docks really low.
that's right.
So I had to jump in there. Sorry, James.
No, not at all. So LODOC loans are loans which aren't regulated in the same way that conventional loans are. So loans offered, more competitive loans offered at lower rates are regulated in different ways. So which means that there's... a lot less, there's far fewer barriers on LODOC loans, which means you can borrow a lot more and supply much less evidence to get the loan approved.
So everyone should just apply for a LODOC?
Good question. Sorry, I'm not explaining that well.
No, you are doing well.
So, it's good. So there are, you definitely best to avoid LODOC if you can. The rates are much higher because you can borrow so much more by giving such, you know, far fewer bits of information. It means the bank can charge you a lot more, and they also charge what's called a risk fee typically, which can be quite hefty.
Is that paid up front?
It's capital, in the same way as LMI, it's capitalized onto the loan.
Okay.
So
you don't have to come up with the cash, but obviously you don't want to go to a loan. People only go to LODOCs if they have to.
So quick question, you've got a first home buyer, and they want to buy an $800,000 to $1 million property.
Mm.
What's the lowest deposit they could have, and just say they're on an average income of maybe just call it $80,000.
It's a lot of math to go on.
Yeah, I'm trying. Well, to 5% would be up to 90. So you can, for first home buyers, is that what you asked? First home buyers, you can buy up to 900,000 with a 5%. That means you only need $45,000 in cash. You'd need stamp duty as well, which would be slightly discounted at 900. I think it'd be around 26,000.
That's our job to know.
So you need around 75k to purchase for 900,000, which is pretty significant. As in, it's a pretty good deal, to be honest.
And you're saying you're about to lead into the deal you've done recently, low dock wise.
Before you really interrupted.
I noticed that.
I know.
Jesus. Can't help himself.
I can't.
No. Real estate
agents. So I did a deal recently where it was a very high income earner. He works in the financial markets, but it's a fairly new company, but it's taken off quite well in the past few years, but he hasn't done his FY23 tax return showed a loss because the company was still in a growth phase. FY24 is a completely different story. He's making an absolute fortune, but he doesn't have the tax returns in place. All he does have is BAS, so business activity statements.
Quarterly reports.
Yeah, so he's not going to have his tax returns until January, but most banks require those tax returns now. However, the LODOC lender we went with was happy to fund the loan, providing we could provide either an accountant's letter or the business activity statements. And he was able to borrow $3.5 million. He did have to pay a risk fee of around $45,000, which I think is around 1.5%. But again, that gets capitalized onto the loan. I mean, it was that or he lost the property because he actually purchased without an approval and then came to us.
Wow. Watch previous episodes on what not to do.
Yeah.
Definitely covered that up before.
A few sleepless nights, but we got there.
That's good. Sorry.
Yeah.
Bad, so I shouldn't laugh.
No, exactly. Yeah. Well, we can laugh because he got it.
Yeah.
But he stood to lose. It was a $4 million property. So he stood to lose, 400 grand?
Yeah, right. Okay.
So
taking a little bit of a loss, but for the long-term gain.
And also, one thing to add. The reason why the rates are so much higher with LODOC loans, among other things, is that they know that people aren't going to be on them for that long. You'd be mad to stay with a LODOC lender if you didn't have to. So with this particular client, as soon as he's got his tax returns in January, he'll have every single bank desperate for his money
for that loan
because he'll be able to service it incredibly easily. So we'll refinance from the low-doc lender to a more mainstream lender on a more competitive rate. So we'll be with them for what, 5 months.
Yeah, right.
And there's no risk. There's no penalty for leaving because he's on a variable rate.
I mean, it makes a lot of sense. I just never thought about it in those ways. Because I do go, okay, low-doc is going to have a higher rate. That's going to stimulate. My mind defaults to it's 2 or 3 years. You got to deal with it. But as you were saying there, that one example, I know it's not everything, but 5 months, like, I could probably deal with the pain for 5 months to then move off and have a much more comfortable rate or better rate overall. So
I think that just moves perfectly into our three quick cues.
Do you want to go government stuff here? Or just quickly on the government
initiatives? Yes.
I mean, we've sort of brushed over them, really. The main one is the First Home Guarantee Scheme. So allows you to purchase up to $900,000 with only a 5% deposit and no LMI is payable. Criteria is that you have to be a person over 18. You used to have to be an Australian citizen, but you can now be a permanent resident. So that includes me, which is great.
Congratulations.
Because
they want your money.
Thanks. And then, but I mean, there are a few, it does rule out a few people in that if you're a single person, the maximum taxable income for the previous financial year can't exceed $125,000. So it's a decent amount, but it's not huge. If you're in a couple, if there's two of you, the combined taxable income can't exceed $200,000.
Okay.
Or you also can't buy a commercial property. It has to be residential. Oh, okay. But you can buy vacant land. It can be
units. Any sort of residential focused. Yes.
Yeah.
Classified.
I just
want to click back. There's one question I thought about earlier, just before I go, the three quick questions. So LMI, I'd even had a belief that it impacts your credit rate. Each time you went through to get your
pre-approval applications.
Yeah, I always thought the pre-approvals, they went and check your credit score. So each time you did that, affect your credit score. Mm. But that's not the case.
Yeah, so it's a common misconception. It doesn't have any adverse effect on your credit score. It has an effect with, if you were to submit 5 pre-approval applications in a month, which you just wouldn't do, but if you did, it could have an issue. You could have an issue with the bank. Yeah, why are you submitting so many? But it doesn't have an impact on your
actual credit. So that wouldn't affect score. The credit score, that would affect the bank's view of you.
Correct. Yeah, right. Yeah. Declines, if you have several declines, that can affect your credit score, but just lodging an application for a pre-approval doesn't.
Right. All right, very good. Thank you. Sorry, I just wanted
to talk. No, it's good to know.
Quick question. So it's all going to be focused on you, James. So get ready. Yeah. So you're under the blowtorch.
And also, you can't expand on your answer.
We didn't tell you this.
So
it's yes or no, very short. You can't.
Very one sentence.
One word if you can. You probably can't with mine.
And probably neither with mine. What is the largest loan you've ever lent?
I was expecting much worse than that.
Wait for it.
Yeah.
That's the first question.
People have done much larger. Probably about $8.5 million.
$8.5 million?
Yeah.
Still pretty freaking sizable.
Yeah, it's still pretty sizable. I would, yeah. It
gets dwarfed, though.
Not to be sniffed.
Slightly desensitized, though.
In the team, it gets dwarfed.
I do mostly residential stuff, but there's a few commercial loans for a lot of flying about, but which are much higher.
Multiplies that. Now, I've got effectively three questions in one, but it's going to be easy for you. So obviously you said you're not born and bred in Australia. So when did you come here? Why did you come here? And why have you stayed?
Oh, love it. God, guys, I was expecting so much worse. had your chance and you blew it.
No.
I came here.
As you know from watching the series, this is basically how it always is. Okay. You know that because you're an avid follower.
You're watching every single second.
I know. No. I love the one you did in October 23. I came here 6 years ago. I came here in 2018.
Yep.
Came with a friend called Adam Long. He's since left. Cheers, Adam.
Yep.
Weak man. We came here in 2018 together. We finished uni and we just thought we'd try Australia out.
Why'd you stay?
I found Shore Financial. It was an irresistible temptation, and I've stayed there ever since. I've been there since more or less since I came here.
Yeah, that's right. Nice one. Last question.
So you're a loyal man.
Yeah, I like things.
Loyal to the podcast.
What is the most bizarre request or thing that someone has ever done to you?
Ever done? Not loan wise.
No, just anything. You said it was too easy. So I've opened it up from banking to just.
Bizarre request.
She's going, what's your most embarrassing story?
Don't talk about Thailand. Don't talk
about Thailand. Ladyboy.
I can't. Sorry, I'm trying to think. I've had a few people, lending wise, I'll be boring and stick to mortgage breaking, but I've had a few people want loans using like ex partner's income.
Oh, right.
I've had one person do that, but I think they weren't well. I think they had a brain injury.
Yeah, I don't know if they're 100% there.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to brush off, because I'm going to get in trouble here. So thank you for coming. We're going to do a few of these episodes with James, so we're looking forward to those. This one's on, as we said, niche banking policies, but look out for the next one.
And if you've managed to take something out of it, or you know someone that would really...
Thank you for helping me
with my English. Just one person, massively help. Like, subscribe, follow, comment, positive, negative. We love the negative, so.
Okay. Like positive. 5 stars.
No, all right. Get the comment.
Thanks for dropping by.
Thank you. Cheers.